Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are looking at the most wonderful, powerful prayer in the Bible. More than just a prayer, a radical, life-changing way of living. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. And we've already been working our way through the first parts of it. If you take this simple phrase, this simple paragraph, these few sentences that Christ illustrated, they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray, and Jesus said, this is how you should pray. And you say, okay, well, that's simple. I'll say the words, but when you say the words, piece by piece, it becomes totally radical. Remember, the first part is what I call the PPP. The person, the place in heaven, and then the praise, hallowed be his name. We begin our prayer with praise for who God is. Secondly, we ran into petition number one, which is unbelievable. Your kingdom come. Have you ever thought what that means? He wants to cover the entire world. And how is he going to do that? Well, we go to petition number two. If your will is done on earth as it is in heaven, then his kingdom will come on earth. You see, one petition leads to another petition. Well, how can we do his will? Then we go to the third petition, which we talked about. He said, I will provide your daily needs. Give us today our daily bread. And we talked about it's much more than just simple food. It is depending upon God for every need we have and being content with what he has provided. Because last week we came to one of the hardest petitions of all. Father, forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We talked about that this petition talks about two parts. Part A, our relationship with God. We have to have a clean slate with God. We have to confess and repent of our sin with God and get right with him. Because I'm telling you, you'll never have peace on this earth without peace with God. Come on, is there an amen? Amen. You know what I mean? If you don't have a right relationship with God, you're going to have this confusion in your life. But part B is even hard too when it says, as we forgive others. You know what? We are called to forgive others for their sins too and their transgressions against us. And we talked about keeping short lists with God. Short lists. When you know you've sinned, don't wait. Turn right then, hit your knees and confess it and repent of it and say, Lord, forgive me. I need your forgiveness today. And the same with other people. You're saying, well, they have to do this or they have to. No, they do not. We learned last week that our unforgiveness does more damage to us than it does to the other person. And what our job is, according to this scripture, Jesus goes on to say, if you do not forgive, God will not forgive. Our part of the equation is to forgive them. Well, today, I want to introduce you to a beautiful plant. This is called the sundew plant. The sundew plant. Isn't that beautiful? Look at this beautiful, gorgeous plant. See these beautiful drops of dew lingering on these petals. What a beautiful plant. Except this is not dew on those petals. This is sticky ooze. And this plant is such a beautiful attraction to the insects around it. But guess what? When an insect lands on that drop of dew, it gets stuck. And when it feels the vibration of a plant moving around, this is a carnivorous plant. It actually closes in around that insect and it eats it. And then when it digests it, it pops back open and says, look how beautiful I am again. Today, we're going to talk about temptation. Temptation is exactly the same way. It gives you a beautiful picture. It invites you in. Oh, this beautiful scene. It's all going to be wonderful. But once you take a bite of that sundew, you're stuck. And if you stay there for very long, what's going to happen? This thing is going to envelop us and it'll eventually consume us. Today, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 6 and let me read this one scripture and then we're going to pray. We're at the point of where it says, and lead us not into temptation. Dear Father, I pray as we go to this, your holy word today. I pray, dear Lord, that you will open our hearts, that you would help us to be honest with ourselves and with you. We are weak in certain areas. We are vulnerable to temptation because of our own desires. We like to have excuses. You know, if they hadn't done this or if this person hadn't done that. But the truth is, Lord, we must take responsibility for our own sin problem. And last week we talked about being forgiven, having a clean slate. Well, you know, the minute after that, we start a new temptation battle because sin doesn't quit. Sin wants to come back. Sin will keep coming back. Temptation will keep coming at us. We live in a world full of temptation. So, Father, I pray that you would give us the victory today, that you would help us understand that you and I together, that we can defeat any temptation that comes. And Father, I pray the words of my mouth would not be my words, Father, but your words spoken through me. That each of us here today may receive the very message that you would have us to receive. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me give you great news from the very beginning. The very fact that this is in the prayer, lead us not into temptation. The very fact that Jesus called on them to pray points out that we can win. We do not have to sin. We do not have to be tempted. Come on, can you hear me? We don't have to do this. Is this true? Does someone stand behind you with a gun to your head and say, you have to do these things? No, I even began to think, what is it in my life that I have to do that I know is against God's will, against God's word? I can't think of one solitary thing that I have to do that's against this will. I mean, the truth is, every temptation is my choice. And so, now, let's talk about this, because I found something really cool this week. And we've been looking at this. Matter of fact, before we even get into this, why don't we turn to the back of our bulletin? I meant to do this, I almost forgot. Let's pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Just read it right there off the back of your bulletin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now look, part one on your outline, I want you to realize that God wants you and I to have positive thoughts, positive thinking. He wants us to begin to tell ourselves that we can win. We don't have to sin. We can defeat this stuff. And in fact, what really came out to me, notice on the back of your bulletin again, look what's in between, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. What's in between those two words? The word and, right? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then what's after that? What's the word after that? And again. And lead us not into temptation. I began to realize that God has connected these three petitions together as one statement that builds upon the other. Let me explain here. First, you have, let's connect the dots here a little bit, part A, connecting the dots there. First, you have petition number three, which is our daily bread, the Father's radical provision. Let me explain to you now. We talked about if we can only be content with what God gives us, how tempted would we be to have more? You see, greed is defeated when you're content with what God has given you. Jealousy is defeated. So many temptations are defeated if you don't have to have more money, more stuff, more power, more praise, more glory, more honor, more pride, whatever all those temptations are. If you can truly accept the Our Daily Bread, then temptation is much easier because you are not vulnerable to all those others. And then petition number four, he said, and forgive us as forgive as we forgive. The Father's radical love we talked about last week. And so this, again, because we have been cleansed and forgiven, the guilt, so often the guilt and the struggle that we have, the temptation to despair and doubt, those things have already been cleared up. And if you truly have clear records with other people, how many temptations to hatred, to vengeance, to spite, to bitterness, any of those things, how much of that is because you are holding unforgiveness toward other people? And again, I think what God is saying to me or connecting the dots with me is that, look, you're tempted because you are not content with what I've given you. You're tempted because you have not cleared your slate with me and with other people. And if you will do that, then petition number five will come into play, which is lead us not into temptation. And so part B, our future possibilities of sin are based on the profession of the previous two. If we truly believe it, our future sins are dependent upon the profession of the previous two petitions. Truly believing that God can provide our daily needs. Truly believing that He's forgiven us and allowing other people to be released from our unforgiveness. Because look, number one, our contentment with God provides the very foundation of our temptation. And the forgiveness we receive and the forgiveness we give address a major source of temptation. Our clean heart, number two, our clean heart with God and with others is how we keep from being tempted to have all those negative thoughts toward them. And number three, it provides our strength to keep from sinning again. You know, the greatest defense in temptation is not wanting to. How many of you and I, how many times have I said to myself, I don't want to displease God today. I don't want to give in to this. You know, if you don't want to be tempted, you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to do this. You stand on what you know. And I know that we're talking about addictions here. I know we're talking about ingrained patterns. We're talking about habits. We're talking about things that are long-lasting in our life. It's not so simple. But let me tell you, you have to want to be pure. You have to want to be free. And once you realize God has provided what you need, God has forgiven you of your sins, that should motivate us to want to stay clean. And that is the strength to fight this temptation that God provides us. And here's what I want to say. Part C is so important. Self-talk. You got to talk to yourself, friends. You got to talk to yourself. I do not have to sin. Can you say it with me? I do not have to sin. I do not have to give in to this temptation. I do not have to give in to this temptation. You know it's going to come. You know we live in a fallen world. You know you're going to have temptations from your flesh, from the world, and from Satan himself. I believe we have an active force who is working to try to tempt us and lead us away from God. But what we're going to talk about, and there's so many scriptures about temptation, I'm only going to talk about three or four of them here because I want to summate the whole challenge that we face. But I want you to know, God believes that we can win. That's what this prayer is about. Lead us not into temptation. Really, I said it this way, number two on your outline, petition number five, the best way that I can word it to you is do not let us be carried into sin through temptation. Do not let us be carried into sin through temptation. Because I'll be honest with you, the whole idea of leading, what the scripture says here, do not lead us into temptation, was confusing. Do you think God would ever lead you into temptation? Because here's what it means, in the actual Greek language, to lead us not, is aspharo, means not to be carried or drawn into something. Same exact word was used. You remember the story of the men on the four corners of the cot that carried that man to Jesus. Same exact word. They asphero'd him. They carried him to Jesus. And then when they couldn't get in the outside, remember, they carried him to the roof and they dropped him down in front of Jesus. So here's what he's saying is, do not let us be carried by this temptation, forced into, corralled and drawn into sin. Because it's like being on the devil's cart. He gets you on his cart and says, come on, you're with me now, I got you. It's like biting that flower, just that, to touching your foot to that dew and getting stuck in it. Lead us not means to not be drawn or carried. And into, part B, into temptation, is the word perasmo, which means a mental state of being enticed to yield. A mental state of being enticed to yield. And that's, it's so important to understand this word, because it shows me what is the main gate of temptation. Your mind. He begins, and we're going to talk about the process in just a moment, but he begins in the emotion, but it moves to your mental state. You know, we can't help how we get affected emotionally by certain things. But when our mind changes, when our mind is engaged on it, that's when we are trapped by Satan or by the world or by the flesh. And I want you to see here, the first scripture I want to look at, if you will, turn with me to Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. And you remember this story. Jesus is with the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what it does, though, is it points out the dual nature of temptation. Remember, he says to them in Matthew 26:41, he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. For, this is important, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, what he reminds us there is that temptation has dual natures, has two different attack plans, two things that we have to be aware of that are under attack. Number one is the spiritual or the inward temptations. There's some temptations that are totally inside of us. Things like hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and jealousy and pride, evil thoughts and greed. Those are things that go on inside of us. These are not physical things that come at us. They're things that are inside of us. They're attitudes and struggles that we go on the inside, the spiritual part of us. And then the second part is the fleshly and the outward. The fleshly and the outward include drinking and drugs and sex and gluttony and pornography and murder and stealing and lying and all those things that come at us from the outside. Number three is so important. Good health in both of these areas is vitally important to defeating sin. Listen, if you're physically tired, how many of you have been physically tired and you give in to stupid ideas? Or you say to yourself, where did that come from? I haven't said that word in years. Because you just got tired. You got distracted. You got worn out. Or sometimes you can be real strong physically, but you have been out of the Word of God for a while. You've not been praying. You feel this separation spiritually from God, and you're weak in that area. That's when jealousy and all these inward temptations can come at you. Because you're not prayed up. You're not studied up, you're not in communion with God, and you're weak. It just reminds me, Peter was one Jesus was talking to at this time in the garden, wasn't he? He said, Peter, you better watch and pray or you're going to fall into temptation. Now, just a few minutes earlier, remember, Peter was like a rooster. I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'm going to stand with you, man. I'll never quit. You see, Peter was spiritually strong at this time because he was motivated. And oh, Jesus just said, brother, I love you, but you're going to fail me at least three times in the next few minutes. He's like, no way. Because see, we know, what were those guys doing at the Garden of Gethsemane while Jesus was praying? What did they keep doing? Falling asleep. They had been up all day. They'd had so much exciting stuff and so much stuff going on. They physically were worn out, vulnerable. And you know what happened a few minutes later. Great man Peter denied Christ three times. He did not watch and pray. He was not physically and spiritually strong. And if you're weak on either one of those, you are vulnerable to temptation. Let's go to D, because this is really important. Temptation is not sin. I want to make that clear. Temptation is not sin. We go back to Matthew 4, and I remind you what it says in Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted. And I just want you to know that even Christ was tempted but did not sin. I want you to know that we can't help it, the temptations that come to our mind and to our heart. The question is, will we fix our mind on it? Will we do away with it while it's still young, while it's still a glance? And you see, what I like about this is he was attacked specifically by Satan himself. I don't think that any of us are directly attacked by Satan very often. All his minions are doing his work, and we have our own flesh that's doing plenty of the tempting ourselves, and the world is doing a lot of it. But I do believe Satan and his men work on us. But Jesus was attacked specifically by Satan. And notice, after he had 40 days of fasting. Now, how many of you would be physically strong after 40 days of not eating or drinking? I think his was an absolute fast. No food, no water. 40 days, I mean, people have gone longer, but it is so hard. I mean, life and death is right in the balance there to go more than about 30 days without food and water. So Jesus was at his weakest point physically when Satan approached him. And how did he defeat temptation? Time and time again, he said, "It is written." Three times he said, "It is written." You know, this is the word of God is a great defense against any temptation. And you understand, Satan cannot stand against Scripture. He cannot. And so, but I do want you to know this was a physical and emotional experience for Jesus. How do we know? Because afterwards, the angels had to come and take care of him. He was drained. He was expended emotionally, physically, spiritually. He was poured it all out. I want you to know fighting temptation is a physical, emotional experience. It is difficult. It is not easy. It's not for the weak of heart here. This is a challenge for us. We must want to be pure. We must want to win. And so we ask God to lead us, not to allow us to be drawn in by these things. We ask him in this prayer, "Lord, do not let me be drawn in by these things." Let's talk about part E, the process of temptation. We have to go to James. If you want to go there, go to James 1. What a great scripture about temptation over in James chapter 1. And I really want to just look at 13 through 15. That's what James says. Let me read this to you. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.'" Why is that? God doesn't tempt people. "For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." So don't go blaming God when you are tempted. God is not tempting. Now, he will test you. Definitely he will test you, but he will not tempt you. A test is designed to strengthen you, to show your strength. Temptation is designed to destroy you. He would not desire to destroy you. But here's the process. Verse 14. "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So here's what we know. Number one, you're dragged away by evil desires. Listen, here's what happens. Is we have an emotional need or desire that we grab a hold to. And friends, more often than not, it's right through our eyeballs. The eyes, they say, are the gate of the soul. And if we let those temptations come in, and again, we can't help it. We can't help it. We live in a world, a fallen world, that's going to be tempting us all the time. So we have this emotional desire. Benjamin Franklin had a wise saying. He said, it's easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follows it. Right? Because once you get your foot stuck in that plant, it's going to consume you. It's going to wrap you up and consume you. Your best trick is not to stay connected in the beginning. But he says, dragged away and by evil desire. The number two, he says, enticed. The word means that your mind has now engaged. It's actually, James uses a fishing term. Anybody fisherman here? You know, you cast that line out there and you're waiting and waiting. Well, that fish sees your bait. That's the dragged away. He's kind of enticed to look at you, but nothing's happening. But then when he decides, he sets his mind on your bait, that's when you actually have him caught. Because he has now made a mental decision to bite your bait. And this is where your mind gets engaged. And this is what I mean, the very process of temptation comes through the mind. When your mind decides, I'm going to do this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to experience this. Well, we haven't sinned yet, but we pretty much locked ourselves in. We're stuck. So hard, I guess you can still say no. You can still quit. You can still turn away because you haven't sinned yet. But the more you let your mind engage, the worse off you are. That's why I said here, more than a glance. A glance is usually okay. But if you fix your mind any longer than that, you're stuck. And then here's what he said next. Number three, desire conceives and gives birth to sin. This is when your will is engaged. This is when you decide, I'm going to do this, and you take the step. And that is when sin happens. And of course, I must remind you what he says at the end of James. What is going to be the result of this sin choice? And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. It will consume you. Absolutely will consume us. I mean, we just have to admit the fact that we're in a war for our soul every day. That we don't want to please. We don't have to sin. We don't have to do this. But when we get enticed and we get lured in, that's when we get in serious trouble. And so let's just talk about four practical applications here as we close. Four practical applications. And I can't state this enough, this first one. Because if there's any one thing that I encourage people when they come and talk to me about their life, I say, look, take responsibility to avoid people, places, and experiences that lure us into sin. Right? Whose responsibility is it to avoid these people in this situation? It's ours. I mean, that means, number one, we have to know and admit our weaknesses. You have to know it. You have to admit it. You have to say, look, I have a blind spot here. I have a hard time with this. I can't deal with this kind of situation. I can't be around these kind of people. I can't be in this kind of situation. I can't allow myself to be up all night. I can't allow myself to be physically drained. I can't allow myself to be emotionally drained to where I can't deal with these things. And, of course, number two is setting boundaries to protect the weak spots. I think you and I need to decide today what your boundaries are sexually, what your boundaries are personally as far as other people, what your boundaries are as far as, well, you tell the truth all the time, no matter what. Because if we get into the trap of saying, and I'm talking to me here, if we get in the trap of saying, well, this little white lie here doesn't matter so much. If we don't set a boundary on telling the truth now, when the time comes, you definitely won't be able to set it then. Because you're in a pickle. There's a reason why you're not telling the truth. Same with stealing. Same with lying. Same with all these temptations. We need to set those boundaries in advance. I tell the kids all the time, you know, saying no in the backseat of a car is too late. You have to set that boundary. Isn't that right? You have to set that boundary. I'm not going out with this kind of guy. I'm not going in that car. And I'm not going to that place. I'm not going with this kind of girl who's interested in that kind of stuff. You have to set those boundaries. And, of course, you have to put the armor of God on by praying and being with God through temptation. There's no doubt that the armor of God that we talk about over and over and over again, just we have to put that armor on hour by hour, day by day. In fact, one person had a wise saying. He says, he who carries about with him so much flammable material will do well to keep the greatest possible distance from fire. You know, once you realize that you're flammable, you don't need to get in close to the fire, do you? And in fact, I love the idea of guardrails and boundaries. I love those ideas. You have a strong boundary about something, but then you step back two steps and you put a guardrail up there too. I mean, there's no reason to even get close to the boundary, because when you get close to that, remember the word transgress means crossing that line? I can see us now standing right up against that line, trying to push it all the way. No, better put a guardrail back here where you can't even get close. And that means putting on that armor, making those decisions, making those boundaries ahead of time. And then I would suggest part B, to use the Lord's Prayer in times of temptation. Pray this prayer. I mean, like you said on the video, sometimes the best way to defeat temptation is to take your mind off of it, even for a few seconds. So you're looking at something on the screen you're not supposed to be looking at. You're thinking about something you're not supposed to be thinking about. You're angry or hateful towards someone you're not supposed to be. And you're saying, how can I defeat this thing? And the more I think about it, the more I look at that screen, the more I'm going to be tempted. How about if you just say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's kind of hard to keep feeling and doing the things you're thinking about doing that you know are wrong while you're praying this prayer. And it diverts our mind. You know, if mind is the gate of temptation, we divert our mind to something else. Number three, choose the Father's exit ramps. Dan did this scripture so well today. I love 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let me just state it for you one more time. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You're not the only one. We all have these temptations. Yours are different than mine. That's the interesting thing. I can't tell you what tempts you because we're all different in that way. But we all face temptation. Even Christ faced temptation. But listen, and God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, sometimes I wonder if he is not pushing the limit. It doesn't mean that you can't face trials and tribulations. It means that he also knows your weaknesses and he doesn't want you to fail. He wants us to win. But listen, I love this part. But when you are tempted, it's going to happen. He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There is always an exit ramp. Always an exit ramp. It's just, can we get our mind under control enough to say no and look for that exit ramp? Even if we have to do a Joseph trick. You remember what Joseph did? What did he do? Ran away. That's right. That's right. Mark Twain said very wisely, sometimes the best defense on temptation is cowardice. Just run away. Get out of there. And then part D, would practice self-talk. Tell yourself, I do not have to sin. What if we were committed today to just telling ourselves that every 10 minutes? I do not have to sin. I do not give Satan permission to carry me into that. I trust that God will give me the strength to stand firm and not allow me to be tempted beyond what I can stand. I'm going to claim 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm going to look for that exit ramp. I love this story. A lady named Lexi Fowler from Denver, Colorado. She was a sheep herder, sheep rancher, and she had a problem with coyotes. We have a problem with that around here some, right? You know, I have coyotes in my backyard. I have some coyotes. And she tried everything to stop these coyotes killing her sheep. She tried all kinds of odors. You know, I've heard you can spray things. She even tried playing a radio with her sheep 24 hours a day. Didn't work. One summer, she spent the night with her sheep every single night. It didn't work. She still lost 50 sheep that summer to just massive amounts of coyotes around. She was really frustrated. What do I do? And finally, somebody gave her the idea. I didn't know this. Maybe you did. She found a llama. Apparently, a llama is so aggressive that if it sees something that it doesn't understand or doesn't like, it will put its head up and begin to run toward that thing. I hear a lot of people like them as pets, but apparently they're pretty aggressive. So she bought a llama, and her problem was solved. You see, a coyote is not about confrontation. He's a sneaky creature. He tries to sneak in under darkness. And he doesn't want to have to pay any price. He just wants to sneak in and catch you while you're sleeping. But when that llama's there 24/7, he has to fight something and he has no desire to fight. You know, to me, that's Satan all the way, all over. You know what I mean? He's a sneaky creature. He doesn't want to fight you. He knows he can't fight the God that's in us. He knows that he can't fight the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So he wants to sneak around in under darkness and in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. He wants to sneak up behind you and steal you away. Instead, we need to be more like llamas. Put our head up. Stand firm. Speak a voice. Devil, in the name of Jesus Christ. Name of Jesus Christ. You have no power, no authority in my life today. Because my Bible tells me I don't have to sin. And today, I'm not going to. Good night and farewell. I don't know what your struggle is today. But I want to take just a few moments for you just to open up this altar for us. I know I have my struggles. And I know you may have yours too. Maybe today is the beginning of a new turnaround for you. Whatever it is, whether it's physical or spiritual that you're dealing with, maybe it's pride, maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's fear, maybe it's doubt, maybe it's sexual, maybe it's money. I don't know. But I know this. If you will come and just be honest and open before the Lord, He'll give you strength. Pray this, Lord, do not let me be carried away by temptation. He'll give you the strength to stand. So let's hit those lights up there, Sam.